Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Chief Commercial Officer at Discovery Health, Dr. Ronald Whelan, joining us on the line this morning. Very good morning. How are you?
Morning to you, Howard. Morning to your listeners.
It's got to have been an unbelievably intense year that you have experienced.
It certainly has been a roller coaster. There's no doubt about that. The second wave was intense, and our health system and hospitals were under extreme pressure during the last week in December, first week in January. I think, fortunately, there's been some reprieve now for the last 3 weeks with infections dropping off. But now we're working furiously on the vaccines, so it has been intense.
Right, so let's talk about that. I was very concerned up till the end of last week that there had been very little communication from Discovery, whereas I had no doubt in my mind that there was an incredible amount of work going on behind the scenes. As a member of the scheme, I was starting to feel sort of what's going on here. When I read Adrian Gore's communication, the one thing that I took away, because there certainly wasn't a lot of information in it, was the very, very fine line that Discovery, and I'm assuming other private medical aids, are walking with regard to government, supporting government, being there for government, but also trying to be there for the doctors, for their members. How has this been managed?
Yeah, I mean, I think, firstly, Discovery is working on supporting South Africa. And so I wouldn't say it's necessarily supporting a government. I think our core purpose is to... make people healthier and enhance and protect their lives. And, we're looking to support all South Africans through this COVID initiatives. And as part of that, obviously, our clients and our members. As you said, it's been a very, very challenging time. It's a very, very complex, and things are moving extremely fast. So as much as we've wanted to communicate more frequently, more regularly, I think the information is just coming at a rate of knots, and things are changing on almost a daily basis. And I think you would have seen that coming out of the new variant announcement last week. We've basically had to change the entire vaccine strategy almost 90 degrees within the other space of a week. And that's the sort of thing that we've become accustomed to with COVID now over the last year or so. So whenever we put information out, we like to be as concrete as possible around that information and provide the right levels of assurances. And given the pace of things at which things are moving in the flux, we're just uncomfortable to put out any given message with the risk of it being the incorrect message.
It's so interesting what you're saying, and that is absolutely right. I record a COVID podcast with Dr. Anton Meiberg every Sunday, and if we plot some of the information that we've, and we started doing this almost a year ago. If we plot some of the information that we were bringing a year ago to where we're at now, it's almost laughable because, he was standing up and saying a year ago, you don't need vitamins. It's a waste of time. Nobody needs to wear masks unless you're ill. Now, of course, we're encouraging vitamins. We're encouraging prevention in all sorts of ways. Obviously, the masks are absolutely vital. So information does keep changing all the time. I guess you've just got to have almost like a sell by, a self-destruct bit on information and then keep sending it. But where does all of this leave your members? I mean, I know that the comment was made that they'll cost, that Discovery will cover the cost of the vaccine. I would have assumed that anyway. That to me, especially considering the cost of it, anyone who's paying private medical aid would have assumed that. It's more about, in my mind, when we'll have access to the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a few important pillars around the program now. I think the first one, as you rightly mentioned, is the funding pillar. And we put that pillar in place way back in November last year already. So the Discovery Health Medical Scheme ring-fenced funding for the vaccine program in November already. So that's ring-fenced and ready to go as soon as the vaccines are ready to go. I think the second pillar around this is we are following the science and the evidence. And I think South African scientists have really done a remarkable job throughout the pandemic.
Absolutely.
And there are many examples of how scientists have risen to the occasion. Globally respected for the work they've done. So we're following the science as the second pillar. I think the third pillar is we're opening up together with the National Department of Health and Treasury and B4SA, various channels for vaccines. Fortunately, that pipeline is starting to look much, much healthier and much stronger than it looked a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, given the global supply-demand imbalance on vaccines, it looks like we'll probably only really start to accelerate the program from about May, June onwards. But in the context of our challenges with the new variant, I think that's not a bad place to be.
Why do you say that? And explain that a little bit more.
Well, I mean, if you look at we landed with 1 million AstraZeneca doses a couple of weeks back, and then science emerged that the AstraZeneca vaccine was not necessarily as effective as we expected it would be against the new variant. And South Africa actually has quite a severe new variant that is impacting the efficacy of the vaccines.
Sure. Right.
So we need to be cautious on rolling out a vaccine that is going to be effective against the new variants and subsequent variants.
One of the comments that Dr. Anton Marburg on one of these podcasts made was that South Africa has been 3 months behind the rest of the world in terms of when the virus hit, and that's been a tremendous advantage to us. He sees almost, in December he made the comment that he sees almost the fact that we would be a little bit later, slower on the vaccine might actually be to our advantage as well, because we can determine medically which is the right way to go rather than going hell for leather, if you'll excuse that expression, and then then landing up with the wrong product. Are you saying to your members that realistically May or June will be when they can start to expect a massive rollout of and access to vaccines?
Well, I think our first priority in alignment with the country is to get all healthcare personnel vaccinated. Yeah, so that's the phase one of the rollout. And Discovery certainly has a number of members who are healthcare professionals. So that's our foremost priority. And the program obviously kicked off yesterday with the J&J vaccine. So we'll aim to accelerate that. I think the second phase is we really are pushing hard for high risk members and essential populations to get vaccinated to complete that phase two of the program somewhere around July if at all possible. It obviously depends on a range of factors, but that's where we're gunning for.
Carry on.
But I think just to reiterate to your listeners, the new variant really has thrown us a curveball. So many other countries have not had the same challenge in terms of the new variant that just resides in South Africa. Ironically, what's happening now is the new variants are beginning to pop up in those countries. So those countries, places like Israel, the US, the UK, are starting to see manifestations of the new variants, which may imply that those countries would have to do another round of vaccinations, either with a new vaccine or a booster vaccine. So we are in quite an interesting cycle in terms of your vaccine rollout. And certainly, even if you've received the vaccine, it doesn't look like it's going to be the proverbial silver bullet.
Was Discovery part of the discussion around how this current process is working? Because it is many healthcare professionals that I spoke to yesterday were quite flabbergasted or surprised at how this was working. Many people that I spoke to who have been active in the COVID wards for the last year have not been notified specialists, nursing staff, physios who have been working and are continuing to work in the COVID wards weren't notified, but GPs, some of them of which are frontline, obviously, for COVID, some of which haven't been working, some of whom haven't even been working very much during this last time, they've been already being given dates on when they can receive the vaccine. Is there a way to try and understand how this is working?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to mention is it's been a remarkable pivot by South Africa, and credit to the researchers and your government around landing this Johnson & Johnson stock. Yeah, you'll recall that the AstraZeneca study only came out about a week and a half ago. We pivoted from an AstraZeneca strategy to J&J stock in country with our first vaccinations yesterday in a week and a half. I mean, it's just these sorts of processes, by the way, usually take 9 months to get that approval. I think it's real credit to the researchers and our regulatory authorities and everyone involved in that initiative.
So I think
that's not to say we always want to move faster and faster and faster. And as I said, it's critical that we get our healthcare professionals vaccinated as quickly as possible. I think the prioritization is right in that we have to start with the highest risk frontline healthcare workers, and that would include workers who are working with COVID on a daily basis in ICUs and hospitals, and then kind of move through the cascade on that. And GPs do extensive work on the frontline as well, and need to form part of that prioritization. In terms of the registration, the electronic vaccination data system is largely up and running. So that's the best way for healthcare workers to get their names registered in the database, so that at least there's some visibility. But it is going to take a bit of time. We have 80,000 doses coming in every 2 weeks. 80,000 doses means 80,000 people, but we've got 1.2 million healthcare workers to get through. So you can calculate the cadence on this.
What's fascinating to me is it's almost unclear, and maybe it's in my mind, and maybe you could help me through that, is where my expectation with regard to Discovery should sit. In other words, if I'm a Discovery member, should I be looking to Discovery, or should I say, well, actually, it's got nothing to do with Discovery anymore. I now need to look to government. Should your suppliers, in inverted commas, who are your doctors, specialists, healthcare providers, be looking to you for assistance, help, to be cared for through Discovery, or should we not be looking to our medical aides and to our discoveries, because people have different medical aides, but you are the largest in the space. Should we be looking to you, or shouldn't we be?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think we've for once during the COVID pandemic sidestepped any responsibility, and feel an enormous sense of responsibility to our members, to the communities across South Africa, and are working day and night to support wherever we can, both on the national front as well as across our member base. So, as with everything we do at Discovery, I think there's an expectation that we're there when the funding is required, and that shouldn't go away. We're always on hand to support in any shape or form. We have an extensive COVID information repository on the website that has the latest details on the vaccine rollout. We update that on a weekly basis with the very latest information. So we're certainly not sidestepping any responsibility, and members should feel more than welcome to call on us at any time to support in any shape or form. We stand ready to support, and as we already are with many members.
One of our listeners asking about the Pfizer vaccine, saying that that seems to be the best option. From what I actually thought, the Johnson & Johnson was a very good one, given that it's one dose, it doesn't require particularly cold storage. What's your view? And I'm sure most of us will take whatever we can get, but that aside, is there a vaccine or preference in your view?
Well, I think the last point is an excellent point, in that I sit in your camp around that. I would take any vaccine that is available right now, and the reason I would do that is the research has been incredible, and the vaccines are built by very reputable companies globally. And I think it does start to build your immunity in one way or the other. So I think the debate around efficacy, well, if you gave me a vaccine that was 60% efficacious now, or a vaccine that's 80% efficacious in 3 months' time, I would take the vaccine now.
That's right. So I'm going to be cheeky and ask you if you will take Sputnik, but don't answer that. Don't answer that.
So the Sputnik is Sputnik results actually look very good. It took a long time for Sputnik to come out with a peer review study.
Mm-hmm.
But the peer-review study has proved that Sputnik has a 92% efficacy, which is remarkable. The challenge with the Sputnik study is that it's only been done on young male participants in the study. So we've got to extend that study to other groups. But actually looks quite a good vaccine.
Right. Sorry, but I interrupted you. You were saying you would go with anything. But is there a vaccine of choice?
Yeah, I mean, I think to caveat my answer around anything that is approved by the regulatory authorities globally and in South Africa, because that means that the evidence base exists. So I would certainly go with any.
You're not going with the Madagascan fruit one, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
That's lost popularity.
I think, broadly speaking, you've got to evaluate vaccine efficacy on two dimensions. The first one is, does it reduce spread of infections? And the second one is, does it reduce the probability of severity of disease? And that's kind of how you look at the efficacy of your vaccine. So some vaccines are better at reducing spread of infection. Some vaccines are better at reducing severity of disease. So that's the criteria you would look at. By and large, the results of all of the vaccines have been excellent against the old variant across the board. AstraZeneca was excellent, J&J was excellent, Pfizer and Moderna were excellent, all across the old variant. The challenges come in on the new variant, as I mentioned. So the AstraZeneca results on the new variant weren't good. It did still generate some immunity, and we don't have data on how it affected moderate to severe disease. The J&J results were good and solid. What we're waiting for is conclusive evidence on the Pfizer vaccine and Moderna vaccine against the South African variant. The Pfizer vaccine, by the way, has proven very, very successful in Israel, unbelievably successful. And that's against the proverbial UK variant, the B117 variant. The hospitalization rates are down, infection rates are down. So on that basis, I think we really are holding thumbs that the Pfizer vaccine will be equally effective against the B1351. Mm. But we need to wait for those results.
Are you anticipating resistance to people across South Africa with regard to receiving the vaccine? Is this a real concern for us?
Look, vaccine hesitancy across the globe is a real concern, and it manifests in specific communities. It seems to be community driven. So there are certainly pockets of communities across South Africa where we anticipate vaccine hesitancy for a variety of reasons. But I guess as a populace and a scientific community and a healthcare industry have to get the right information and the right facts out there. The fact around their vaccines is that they've been around for many, many decades. In many respects, they are some of the safest therapeutics that you can get. In many, many ways, they're safer than many of the pharmaceutical your products. So it's a question of us all hands on deck clearing out some of the misinformation out there around vaccines.
Absolutely right. Absolutely vital to be able to do that. Chief Commercial Officer of Discovery Health, Dr. Ronald Whelan, thanks for taking the time to speak to us. I think it's such an important conversation, and it's so important that we communicate what really is going on behind the scenes, because sometimes we when there's a lack of information, I think we make up things, and it's absolutely vital that we can have these conversations and understand the complexity, the processes, and the amount of work as well as the care that is going into trying to acquire the right vaccines for as many South Africans as possible. Thank you for taking the time to chat to us.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.